You know, last week we talked about, you know, what'd you say? You know, what's coming out of your mouth? And it is so important that we continue to think about that and dwell on that and meditate on that. Amen? Because it's the word that we put into the atmosphere. You know, I mean, putting the word of God into the atmosphere, but it's not just into the atmosphere out there somewhere. It's into our heads, right? It's into, you know, into our spirits and just confirming what God has said. Amen? Well, let's pray tonight and we'll get into what I want to talk about tonight. Father, we just thank you for the unction of the Holy Spirit. I thank you, Lord, that the folks that are here in the building and those that are watching online, Lord, we all have ears to hear what you want to say today. And so, God, we want to thank you for being with us. We want to thank you for ministering to us. And we want to give you all the glory and the honor of just the relationship that you allow us to have with you. We just honor you in this place. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. If you have your Bibles, if you have them at home, and I would just encourage you, especially if you're watching at home, get your Bible out. I mean, the phone's fine, the tablet is fine, but there's something about opening your own Bible, and you can get this verse, you can have a highlighter ready, and just highlight it, and begin to, you know, when God speaks to you about something, you can just have it there for, you know, when you need it. And I've found oftentimes, especially, I've got one Bible on my desk that I've had since I went to Bible school at Rhema Bible Training. It's college now, it was then center, but that was over 40 years ago. But yet I can open that Bible and I'll have something highlighted. Oh yeah, I remember that. Or God speaks to me through His Word that way. So I think that's really important. So in Isaiah chapter 26, and we're going to look, verse 3 is where we're going to do, where we're going to be at. But I just want to go ahead and read from the beginning. In that day, this song will be sung to the land of Judah. We have a strong city. God will appoint salvation for the walls and bulwarks. Open the gates, the righteous nation which keeps the truth may enter in. You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you. We're going to be talking indirectly about how to keep our mind stayed on the Lord. Okay? And specifically, we're going to be talking about meditation. And some of us get scared about meditation because we think of the Eastern religions and, you know, staring at a candle and going, hmm. But you can't throw the baby out with the bathwater. What I mean by that is that there is meditation described in the Word of God, and meditation is one of the best ways to get the Word of God from your head and into your heart. And if we can grasp that and get a hold of that and begin to act on that, then things will change. And again, this year is the year of change, right? And on Sunday mornings in the last couple of months, we've been going through that about our heart and how to get our heart to change. But meditation is such a tool for just that objective. But again, let's look at this. Again, verse 3. You will, talking about the Lord, keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you. Now, mind here is, it has the connotation of the center of conception or imagination. Now, let me read that with the word imagination in there. You will keep him in perfect peace whose imagination is stayed on you. Because he trusts you. Again, watch this. Imagination. Have you ever had something that you were so excited about, You just started playing all these scenarios in your head. It's like, I'm going to go to Disneyland, and I can't wait to get there because there's this one ride that I've ridden before, but I can't wait to get back to it. And there's this one place, and they've got this particular kind of ice cream that, man, I just can't wait to get there. And what you're doing is, in your mind, you're creating an image to reflect what you're looking forward to. So, again, this is... the Lord will keep him in perfect peace whose mind, whose imagination, whose thought process, who keeps him before him, right? And watch this again, whose mind is stayed on you. That word stayed means focused, it means fixed, it means I'm there, right? You know, don't bother me because I'm there. I'm focused on that. And the best illustration, I haven't found a better one. It just brings it to clarity for me. I was watching this movie years ago, and I don't even remember the movie. All I remember is this scene. This guy's going on a first date, a blind date with this woman, and they're in New York City, so they're walking. And the lady says, listen, I just have to make one stop before we go to dinner. And so... Well, that's fine. That's cool, I guess. And so they're walking, and they walk into this house where this lady's friend was. Well, this lady's friend just happened to be 9 months pregnant. And in the middle of her living room, they had one of those kiddie pools filled with water because she was going to give birth at home. So here this stranger, never met the woman before, let alone the friend, walks into the room, and all of a sudden, she's in the middle of a contraction. He's walking across. There she is, ready to give birth in this pool. And she says, stop! Because he was her focal point. And what that means is, in the middle of the contraction, you concentrate on one thing. And in the Lamaze classes, they do the breathing teeth. But it's, don't move, because you're my focal point. Now that's funny, and it was funny in the movie, because he was like, you know, wow, right, wow. But the point is that if our mind or imagination is focused, laser focused on God, that's where the peace comes from. That's where the peace comes from. He will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is absolutely focused on God. And meditation, I just love that. That focus, that stay, that grip. I'm there. I'm not going to change. I'm not going to move. That focus can be absolutely enhanced if we'll get into the practice of meditating the Word of God. So go with me to Psalms, the first Psalm. Psalm 1. This is very familiar to a lot of people, but you know what? When you go over the Word, don't let the Word become, you know, well, I've heard that before. I've read that before. Because I believe there's so much in the Word of God, so much power in it, and so much life that you can, and we're going to discuss that in just a little bit, you can get so much out of it when you allow the Spirit of God to help you with it. But let's look at verse 1 of the first Psalm. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of the sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in our, you know, New Testament time, we probably say that his delight is in the Word of God. His delight is in the law of the Word, and in his Word he meditates day and night. I figured out, and I'm not a rocket scientist, but I figured out if it's not day, it's night. And then again, if it's not night, it's day. So if he says day and night, that means continually. That means all the time. That means you do it in the morning. You do it in the evening. You do it, you know, Daniel, when he was, captive in Babylon, it talks about that he went to his place of prayer at least three times a day. And he'd face toward Jerusalem and concentrate on God and pray. And as Christians, sometimes I think we just dabble a little bit, but we don't spend the time in concentrated, disciplined prayer, because that's really what meditation is. It's praying the word. But watch again. Let me go through this again. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law, or in his word, he meditates day and night. Meditates. And again, get back to that mind and having your imagination in the Lord. So meditation, when you go over the word and over the word and continue to go over the word and over the word, what it's doing is God, through the Holy Spirit, has the opportunity to paint a picture in your mind of what he's trying to say to you. So, and again, we'll get into this in a minute, but meditation doesn't mean, you know, hum, but it does mean quieting and trying to get your brain off of other things and keep them focused on the Lord. So when you're meditating, you're muttering the word of God. You're speaking the word of God over and over and over and over to yourself, right? I didn't have this particular verse down, but I want to go back and explain to you my experience, my first experience of meditating in the Lord. And if you'll turn, it's not in the notes, but in Romans chapter 12, Romans chapter 12, and Romans chapter 12 and verse, we were supposed to meditate, and this was assignment in school. We were supposed to meditate for 15 minutes before we went to bed on Romans chapter 1 and chapter 12 verses 1 and 2. 15 minutes a day, every day for a week. And I thought, when the assignment was given, I thought, 15 minutes a day on two verses? And just think about them and read over them and read over them and read over. 15 minutes? Are you kidding? Man, I'm going to run out of things to think or say after a couple, 3 days, right? But no, it's such an incredible process. And so you get into this and you can start tearing these verses apart, and especially when the Holy Spirit starts talking to you, you go, I beseech you. What does that mean? And it's the Apostle Paul writing, but under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And so what the Holy Spirit is saying, I'm pleading with you. This is a request, but it's more than a request. It's a request from my gut. I'm begging, I'm pleading with you. It has that kind of emphasis. Therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, what does that mean? I mean, you just start thinking of the mercies of God. God's been so good to me. I don't deserve anything that he gives me, and I deserve a lot of punishment that he's not giving me. So I'm right now, he's asking me by God's mercy and because of God's mercy that I present my body while I'm living in this temple. He asks me. And so the whole point is that I don't want to do the whole meditation here, but I was amazed that in a week's time, because we were supposed to journal and write down what we got, I had pages of notes from two verses by simply meditating on it. And when I say meditating, just reading it, reading it over, reading it out loud, reading it out loud, reading it out loud, reading it out loud, and all of a sudden, bam. So that was the first week. The second week, and we'll not turn there, but the second week he said, well, now do it again, but do it on a verse that you want. And I happen to pick 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 8. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, that you have all sufficiency so that you're able to give to every good work. And I thought, wow, cool, I'm going to do that verse. And so for the first 3 days, I think, and pages of notes, I couldn't get past, and God is able. And God is able. And you just start imagining and thinking about, really, how able is He? What does His ability consist of? Right? And again, you're keeping your mind on Him by the practice of going over and over and over in your mind and building this absolute picture of who God is. See, I'll keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on him, and using God's word to build that picture on the inside of you is the absolute thrill and building block for getting the word of God to from out here to becoming real and important on the inside of you. So you get it? It's like, and God is able to make all grace. What does that mean? Well, all means all, but grace, you mean there's more to grace than just being saved? Oh, there's so much more to grace. My ability to speak to you tonight with the anointing upon me is because God has graced me to do it. Every gift that I have, whether it's a natural gift or a spiritual gift, is because God has given it to me. If I'm able to sing, if I'm able to play the piano, if I'm able to be an accountant, if I'm able to be a lawyer, if I'm able to be a mother, it's all because of God's graciousness giving that to me. And so he's saying God is able to make all grace abound. And again, so I could preach on just that tonight, but I don't want to do that. But you're getting the point. It's like going over that and stopping and letting the Holy Spirit begin to speak to you and just imagine, wait a minute, God, your ability and your grace is abounding toward me? Whoo! I like that. And it's true. All right, let's go back to the first psalm. Hallelujah. Again, verse 2, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and his law does he meditate day and night. Meditation, again, that's again bringing that focus or staying on the mind, staying on the Lord, focusing on the Lord. It's meditation. It's reading the word with an active imagination. I don't know about you, but I had much more of an imagination when I was a kid, before life beat it out of me, right? I mean, right now, I mean, it's like, because I don't live in that realm, I can't even imagine myself having $1 billion. I can't even imagine what that would be like. But Elon Musk can. Right? Because his mind and his reality has been brought to that level. So even in the things of God, from a natural perspective, it's like if you want to grow more in prosperity, if you want to grow more like advancement in a job or just be better financially, then you have to start thinking about and meditating on the things that will get you there. Because as long as you're staying where you are in your mind, you'll never go outside of that picture that you have of yourself. Right? And so the whole principle is that I need to begin to meditate on what God says and who God says I am and what God says I can do and what His promises entail to me. And begin to just take the Word of God and start to live and imagine the Word of God. And Jerry, our good friend Jerry, years ago, he talked about how that the Lord was speaking to him out of a particular verse in Matthew, and he said, read that chapter and these verses. So he did. He didn't get anything out of it. Read it again. He didn't get anything out of it. Read it again. He didn't get anything out of it. And this went on for a few days. And finally he said, Holy Spirit, I know you're telling me to read that, but I can't get it. I don't know what you're trying to say. And the Holy Spirit said to him, what I need you to do is to put yourself in the story. What was he saying? I need you to live the story. I need you to put your imagination into practice and see yourself in there. Right? So all of a sudden, you know, you're at the well. Jesus is there and the woman at the well is there. You're seeing this exchange go on. And you begin to, well, what was she wearing? What was she thinking? What was she, and how, what were her reactions? And you start to put yourself in there. Why? Because then it becomes alive on the inside and you can see yourself there. Amen? Amen. So, again, let's look at a couple more verses. Let's go to chapter 2 and verse 1. It says, Lord, how they have increased who trouble me. Oh, I'm on the wrong one. Sorry. Why do the nation rage and the people plot a vain thing? What does that have to do with meditation? Plotting a vain thing is using your imagination to think of something that is vanity. So watch this, and I'm going to contrast them. So meditating on the Word puts yourself in a place of confidence and faith about God, but getting yourself over and starting to imagine what's going to happen if this happens or if that happens, or and the devil's telling you, well, you can never do that because you're lousy and you're, you know, all that. That's nothing but vain imaginations, because it's not the image that God is portraying. Do you see that? So watch this. I'll just say it this way, that worry is nothing but vain imaginations. Worry is nothing but vain imagination. Anxiety is nothing but vain. They're real, and there's some feelings that are absolutely real in it, but the more that you stay in that vain imagination, the more the hole you dig for yourself, and you get further and further away into almost, and people have gone to the place of hopelessness. So what I'm saying, the way to dig yourself out of that is to get back over into thinking about what God is saying and beginning to get into a verse, two verses, whatever God shows you to do, and just begin to speak them to yourself over and over again. It says in verse 2 of chapter 1, and in His law or in His word, He meditates day and night. Well, how can you do that? I mean, some of us have to go to work. Some of us have, you know, just other things going on in our lives. You're with people. How do I do that? It's like this. You begin to discipline yourself to begin to think about the Word of God all the time. Right? And instead of you know, driving down the road, you know, sometimes listening to, like I listen to sports every once in a while, and all of those other things, that doesn't bring life. It doesn't bring your imagination to peace. But if you turn that around and say, Lord, I'm just going to start thinking about it as I'm driving. I'm going to think about Psalms number one. Because, Lord, you said if I do this, I'd be like a tree planted by the waters. My roots, I prosper in everything I do. So, Lord, I'm just going to continually think about and speak and mutter to myself the Word of God. What is the Word saying? What is God putting in my heart? Right? And in this year of change, if we want to have His help in changing, if we want His help in becoming more peaceful and more assured of Him in our lives, this is one of the keys to absolutely doing it, is to begin to meditate or focus on the Lord. Let's go to Psalm 91. Psalm 91. It says, He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Well, how do you do that? Is that something, well, Lord, you know, I don't seem to be feeling you right now. You seem like you're a million miles away. I want to dwell in your secret place, but I don't know how to get there. And maybe that's just for the really anointed people that are super holy. And maybe that's not for me. And that's an absolute lie, right? All of us who are born again have access to the throne of grace. And if we have access to the throne of grace, we can dwell in the secret place of the Most High. And that means to live there. I live there. It's like I go to work, I go different places, but there's a place where I live. There's a place where I live, and that's where I go back to all the time. Right? And why? Because that's where my better half is. And I'll just say that's where my Valentine is. Right? And watch this. I am so comforted at home. It's the place of peace. It's the place, but I have to drive there when I leave here. But that's where I live on purpose. I drive there. So he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High, again, it's something that we have to do intentionally. And it's not up to God, because God's done all the work for us to dwell there. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. But one of the tools for dwelling, or one of the vehicles for getting to the dwelling place, is muttering or having the Word of God on your heart all the time. And again, just speaking the Word to yourself. Speaking to yourself in both in Ephesians and I think it's Colossians. It says speaking, or another one says singing to yourself in songs and spiritual songs, making melody in your heart unto the Lord. What is that? Singing a song that is Scripture to yourself is meditating in the Word of God. When you find a scriptural song, one that's based on Scripture, and you begin to sing it, what's that doing? It's putting you in the place of that song. And that's what we're talking about tonight, is meditating, putting yourself in there. Why? Because it's not very peaceful outside of that. And he said again that he'll keep him in perfect peace whose mind or imagination is stayed on there. Let me just give you another thing that you'll all relate to, I think. I can hear a song on the radio that I haven't heard for 30 years or 40 years, and it puts me right back to a certain place, a certain feeling, a certain activity, because there's an emotional connection to the song. Well, I make up words. But you know, so the point of that is that, Lord, use the Word of God. Use the Psalms. Use whatever you want to. And so part of the meditation is you can mutter the Word. You know, you can mutter the Word, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And that's meditation and beginning to say it over and over again. Just think about that particular verse. It's, you know, the funeral verse, but it's really not meant for a funeral. The Lord is my shepherd. What? No, you don't understand. The Lord, God Almighty, the one who made heaven and earth, the one who is far above, the one who created everything with just a spoken word out. The stars were there, just a spoken word out. The moon's there, just a spoken word, and the earth lines up, and all of the other planets line up, and they're in perfect order, in perfect symmetry, in perfect alignment, and just that God. But that's not just the God up there. The Lord is my shepherd. And you begin to equate that to what a shepherd does. A shepherd's responsible to see that the sheep eat. A shepherd is responsible for the protection of the sheep. And you just go on and start thinking about that and think about it. And that's the Lord. The Lord is my shepherd. He might be your shepherd, and he is if you're letting him be, but he's my shepherd. Jesus said, my sheep know my voice, and the voice of a stranger they'll not follow. The Lord is my shepherd, and I know his voice, and he speaks to me. And the more you think about that, the more you begin to say that, the more you begin to mutter that and think about that. How long do you do this? Forever. But if there's a particular verse that God's dealing with you on, just begin to use it and use it and use it and use it. I've told you this before, but years ago, it's like we used to get the 3x5 cards. I guess you can still get those at Office Depot, but the 3x5 cards, because we didn't have the post-it notes and all of the rest of the stuff. But you got those and you wrote them up and you taped them on your mirror in your bathroom. You taped them on the dashboard of your car. Why? So that it's ever before you. But watch this. Just having a plaque on your dashboard or a saying on your refrigerator is not meditating in the Word of God. If you're not inputting it into you, then it's just a decoration. It's nice, it's good, it's better than other things you could hang there, right? But what we're talking about tonight is that absolute putting our mind and having our mind stayed on Him by continually meditating on the things that He wants us to meditate on. And I would tell you, I could give you a verse for a week to just meditate on. You can, and that would be awesome for practice. But what I'm saying is the Lord wants you to begin to let Him draw you to a verse. Years ago, there was Isaiah 41:10, fear not, for I am with you. Be thou not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will uphold thee with my righteous right hand. Fear not. Why? Because God is with me. And I needed that at the time. And so I would just go around thinking about that. And when thoughts started coming, I said, nope, fear not. God, you're with me? Yeah, you're with me. If you're with me, I don't have to be afraid. And the exercise of going over and over and over and over and over is essential to keeping the peace. And again, sometimes we lose focus, right? I'll just give you an example of where that happens. You start to pray. And maybe you start to pray and you're praying before the Lord and you're trying to get quiet before Him. And then you think about what you're going to have for dinner tomorrow. And then you think about, did I get enough gas to make it to work tomorrow? Did I, you know, and all that, right? And so our focus gets diverted. Why? Because the enemy wants to keep us out of the peace. Well, how do you get your mind back to the focus? With the Word. With having that focal point of the Word of God. I'm bringing my mind, I'm bringing my spirit, I'm bringing my body in line with the Word of God. Lord, I just want to thank you that you're my shepherd. I want to thank you that you're with me. I want to thank you that I don't have a spirit of fear, but of love and of power and a sound mind. I want to thank you, Lord. There is nothing on this earth that can separate me from your love. I just want to thank you, and you begin to imagine that. Now, I'm going to just take that a little bit further, but meditating on the Word of God puts you in a place where meditation is possible. And the imagination kicks in. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord. Did you ever think that the saying of the Lord is the key to staying in the secret place? Let me say that again. That saying of the Lord is the secret place to dwelling in the secret place. All right. You get it? All right? So, I'm going to dwell in the secret place of the Almighty, which will put me under His shadow by saying, the Lord, He is my refuge. He is my fortress. And we don't think about that too often anymore, but again, use your imagination that the enemy and world life and everything is struggling at you, but put yourself in medieval times where they had the castles and the turrets and you know, they had the chain drawbridge and if you weren't in, they had the moat around them filled with, well, not alligators, but filled with, you know, you just start using your imagination and picture that in your mind and say, wait a minute, that's who the Lord is to me. So if the Lord is my fortress, if He's my refuge, the place where I go for safety, the refuge, then I can be assured that I'm safe. The Lord is my refuge. So good, so good. I will say of the Lord, but you have to say of the Lord. And I don't mean, you know, you have to shout it out loud. You don't have to be at work going, listen, everybody, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my strength. But while you're doing your work, I'll tell you, you can mutter under your breath, Lord is my shepherd. And even, Lord, I just know you're here with me because you said you would be, and so I can't figure this problem out, or I can't figure this situation out, but you're with me, and I just am going to trust you to give me the guidance to do what you want me to do. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Where can fear hide in me if the Lord is in the midst of me? And the way, one of the ways, and there's others, but one of the ways, a powerful way, is meditating on the Word. Meditating. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 3. In Proverbs chapter 3, we get down and quote, verse 5 is, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge Him and He'll direct your path. But I don't believe you can get there until you do 2 and 3. But let's start at verse 1. My son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commands. Again, what I've told you, what I've taught you, put them in your heart and keep them, guard them, and keep them at the forefront of your thinking. And watch how this will help. If your father, earthly father, was a man of integrity, or your mother was a woman of integrity, she began to teach you certain things. Like, just to, for instance, I remember as a kid, I'd find this nasty old ball, you know, like a baseball that was just no good for anything. But I found it up in the field, and I'd go home, and you know, Mom would see that, and she'd go, "Where'd you get that?" "Well, I found it in the field. It was just thrown in the field somewhere." She said, "That's not yours. Take it back. Take it back. That's not yours. Take it back." What was she doing? She was putting in my heart integrity. And that's guarded me throughout my life. Because it keeps me from doing things, right? Okay. So good. And that's what the Lord will do. You start to put this, you put His word in, and all of a sudden you'll be confronted with a situation. You go, "No, I'm not going to compromise. I'm not. If it costs me my job, if it costs me whatever, I'm going to go with that." My son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commandments, the length of days and long life and peace. Will they add to you? Now watch this. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck and write them on the tablet of your heart, and so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and of man. Bind them around your neck and write them on the tablet of your heart. How do you do that? By continually meditating on the Word of God. Do you know, in the Jewish tradition and under the law, and even to this day, they'll take pieces of the Word of God and fold them up and put them in this little box thing. And then they have leather straps on that box, and it's about this big, and they put it on their forehead, and they tie it around their back, the back of their head, and they wear it. And then, I forget what it's called, maybe Joan can remind me, but on the doors of the house, you come into the door, and there's a little place there, and on that place, it's got a little scripture, but it's inside of the compartment that's nailed. Why? Because they're following the scripture. They're beginning to do it. And I'm telling you, the best way to write it on your heart is to meditate on it. To begin to think about it. Amen? Y'all getting something?
Yes, sir.
Now let's go to Joshua, book of Joshua. That was exuberant. Joshua chapter 1. Hallelujah. Joshua chapter 1. I'm going to start in verse 8 because of time. The book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do all that is written therein, and you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. There's a couple of different ways of looking at this, but think about this. Don't speak the Word of God to others until it becomes real to you on the inside. In other words, don't make it a show of, "Well, this is what the Word of God says," unless it's real on the inside of you and it's a part of who you are. Right? In other words, I don't want you to use my testimony and go to somebody else and try to get them saved, or my formula and try to tell them about Jesus. What I want you to do is to get the Word of God on the inside of you and let that become your experience. And then when you're speaking to somebody else in line with what the Holy Spirit is telling you, it's not secondhand information. It's information that comes from God through your heart to them. And it's real. But watch this again. The book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it. You shall mutter it. You shall think about it. You shall roll it over and over and over and over in your mind and your heart, that you may observe to do all that is written therein. There's something about putting the Word of God on the inside of you that gives you the ability to do it. It not just the power to do it, but it gives you the boundaries to keep you safe so that you're not on the outside of it. It's so important that we have the Word of God on the inside of us to draw from. And it may not seem like it's doing anything, but if you'll continue to meditate, you'll begin to speak it over yourself. And if God's dealing with you in a certain area, like we talked about on Sunday morning about the roadmap to change, that the first was identifying something that you want to change, that's something that you're dealing with. And when you identify that, then you find the scriptures that give you the promises to be able to walk that out with a knowledge that God is going to help you do it. Then you begin to meditate on those scriptures that God is wanting you to change. And then He begins to do it. I'll just give you another one, and I've got to quickly finish. But watch this. It's like the verse in Galatians, I think it's 5:21 or it's around there. But walk in the Spirit and you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Walk in the Spirit and you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For years, because of my background and my religious background, it was like, don't do this, don't do that, don't do this, don't do this, don't do that, and then you'll be holy. Well, that just led to frustration because it never worked. But then I figured out, if I walk in the Spirit, then I won't want to do the things of the flesh. So what is the walking in the Spirit? It's keeping your mind stayed on God. It's having Him at the forefront of everything that you do, everything that you think, everything that you're going to be a part of. And again, the one of the ways that you do that is speaking to yourself over and over and over and over and over again. Again, I've told you this, and I'm not going to go into this in detail, but I use 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 through 8. I speak them about myself, and it changes me from the inside out, and my love walk toward God, toward myself, and toward others just grows because I'm meditating on that. All right, a few scriptures, and then we'll close. Psalms 5. Psalms 5 and verse 1. Listen to this. Give ear to my words, O Lord, and consider my meditation. Woo! That's a kind of a risky prayer, Give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my meditation. Hearken unto the voice of my cry, my King and my God. Listen. Lord, I want you to pay attention to what I'm pondering, what I'm focused on. Now, if it's the Word, Lord, you know, give heed to that while I'm there. But when I'm worrying, when I'm frustrated, when I'm over in the devil's territory, when I'm angry, when I'm confused, when I'm all, not so much. Don't give heed to what I'm thinking there. But He said here, give heed to what I'm meditating on, what I'm muttering. And if that's your prayer, then I think it's really important that you consider what you're meditating on. Psalm 19. Does that make sense? Hallelujah. Psalm 19 and verse 14, it says this, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer." That's my prayer tonight for me, but that's also my prayer tonight for you. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. Well, they're not going to be unless you discipline yourself in it. Unless you begin to discipline yourself in it. What does that mean? Well, this is the way I always react. Well, change it. But to change it, you're going to have to discipline yourself to be meditating in the Word of God. One more, and then we got to close. Psalm 64. Verse 1, "Hear my voice, O God, in my meditation. Hear my voice, O God, in my meditation. Preserve my life and fear from the enemy. Lord, hear me speak your word. Lord, hear me mutter your word. Lord, hear me even in my complaints, thinking of you and putting you in the first place. Lord, help us with our thinking. Help us with our meditation. Help us, Lord, because we want more of you. We want to be more like you. We want you to be glorified in our lives." Father, all those that are watching online or you're here today, and whether they're in Texas or they're in Port Orchard or wherever they are, Lord, just remind them that your word is good, your word is alive, it's sharper than any two-edged sword, it's able to divide even between the spirit and soul and the thoughts and the intents of the heart. God, let your word shape us and shape our lives. We are pledged to you, O Lord, and we give our hearts to you, we give our lives to you, and we give you all of the glory in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. God bless you. Thanks for watching. Amen.